So we talked about your research. So I'm going to talk a little bit about some tools that you can use with the research that you've done, the things you've learned, the data you've collected, as you've learned more about the people that you are serving. So one of the most important assets you can build in your business is an email list. How many of you like know influencers on social media and they have 100,000 followers? No, I'm asking if you know those people. Okay, what's really interesting to me is that I've reached out to a number of those people because I host summits. That's one of the things I do for the health area. And so I will host summits and get experts to come and talk on their area of expertise on my summit. And some of those people have 100,000 people on their social media following list, and they have no email list. So they don't come on my summit because I only do it for presenters that have email list. But your most valuable asset, if you ever want to sell your business, like maybe you decide you want to move into something else and somebody else can do what you're doing, your email list is going to be a big part of the value of your business. So whatever you're doing, always be looking to get those contacts on an email list that you can track, that you can communicate with, that you can share your value with in a way that is going to be useful to them. So using a list server is really the only way to do it effectively. I know some people that do like Google distribution list in Gmail, but those are not very effective because spam filters kick a lot of those out if you have multiple addresses on an email. A lot of people are not even seeing your emails if you do that. And most of us don't have the time or the resources to do one-by-one emails. So I just don't recommend that. MailChimp is a good starter one if you haven't used one before. ActiveCampaign or Go High Level. Go High Level is a fairly new product, but it's building a very good reputation. And they have an extraordinary number of features, which you probably won't need if you're starting, but it's great for growing into. And they have a CRM, Customer Response Management Program, built into it so that it's easy to track your communications with your people. So like it's one thing to get everybody's name on an email list, but it's another to be able to say, oh, who hasn't responded to anything I sent out for 6 weeks? Or who's been opening every single email I sent out? And to be able to respond and then like send them a text or send them an email back or give them a phone call, because maybe they're knowing and liking you enough that they're ready to buy from you. So that's what a CRM is. I think it's Customer Relations Management. I think that's what it stands for. Customer Relations Management. You want some kind of a system as you're growing that you can do this. You can start by just having an email list that allows you to segment. I mean, you can start with that.
That's MailChimp.
MailChimp or ActiveCampaign. Go High Level has more features for the price right now. Because they're new in the market, they're trying to undercut. So you can get in on them at a much lower price than some other software that does a lot of the same things. So depending on how fast you want to grow and how many resources you want to put into your marketing, Go High Level might be a good fit. I have a lot of my colleagues that are entrepreneurs that are using Go High Level. I have some of my mentors that are moving to Go High Level from what they were using before. So it's getting traction, and it seems to be have really good customer service, and those are things that can be really important. Now, segmenting your list using tags. Anybody here not sure what I mean when I say that? Okay, so when you have a server like MailChimp, oh, that little thing came up again. Okay, all right. So segmenting your list is super useful for your communication. You know how we talked about how important communication is? Mm-hmm. So segmenting is how you communicate more effectively. It means that if you know somebody is only interested in your skin products, but they're not interested in your tonic, you're not going to be sending them emails about how good your tonic is, because what they really want is your skin product. All right? So maybe they like your baked goods, but they're not really interested in your produce, or vice versa. So knowing what your customers really like about what you're offering is helpful, because then you can tell them when you have a sale on their favorite products or group of products or category of products. versus things they're not interested in. So when you collect people's emails, you have the option with MailChimp or ActiveCampaign or Go High Level to put a tag on their name that gives you information about where they came from. Okay, so you can have opt-in forms, like where you know the opt-in form, everybody knows, you just put your name, and your email, and your phone number, and you get something, right? It's like it's all over the place. How many of you have ever used one of those? Okay, when you do that, the back end is hooked up, so whoever is collecting your information knows what the advertisement was around it, what it was that you were signing up for. So like for me, people can sign up that they're interested in nutrition, or they can sign up that they want to reverse diabetes. I don't necessarily send the same stuff to both people. I have some people on my list that are people that came to my public school adult education diabetes reversal class, and none of them are Adventist. So I have them tagged so I know who they are. So I'm not necessarily sending them some of my other content. It depends on who they are and where they are in their customer journey, which we're going to talk about in a minute. Also, as you do your research, you might find that you want to create product variations based on what you learn. So like I learned when I was talking to the organic food store about selling my microgreens, I learned that they liked two specific sizes. So like how to package it. They wanted a small package and they wanted a larger package. So I had two different kinds of clamshells because it was two different price points. So I sold wholesale to them, which meant they bought more volume, and so I had a lower margin, but they bought more volume. And so they got a good price so they could still mark it up and still be in the market. Or you might be wanting to sell retail. Retail is like when I sold to chefs. They paid top dollar for the same microgreens. Okay, so don't get stuck thinking that because you think your product is worth this much, that's the only price you can sell it at. The price you sell it at is what its value is for the customer. Okay, and a lot of that can be around service, around quality, around excellence. Like my microgreens, they could put in the fridge and they looked good 2 weeks later. That's a huge, huge selling point for stores and chefs. Hydroponic microgreens do not hold up that way. It's just a fact. So sorry if some of you are doing hydroponics, but there's a just difference in the way that the plants grow. You might find that you want to do custom packages. Sometimes that's where the money is, where you take custom orders and you bundle stuff in specific ways for people that they like special. Or you might have delivery options. You drop off, they pick up. You know, you have different things, and those can be valuable to people. Some people don't have a lot of time. So if you make it easy for them to pick up what you've got or to get what you have, that's really nice. Delivery options would include things like an automatic download when somebody signs up. That's a delivery option. They don't have to wait. They can get what they're looking for right now. There's a lot of value in that. Like if I'm in the middle of doing a project and I see an ad come across that has something that I need for my project, if it's something where I have to enter all my information and pay and they're going to ship it to me, forget it. If I can get a free download or a low-cost download, I can get it right now and I can open it up and I can read it and I can put it into the course I'm building, that's worth a lot to me. So think about your delivery options. And that's where like information products can be really, really nice because you can get more margin on information products than almost anything else. Because once you've created it, it doesn't cost you anything to sell 1,000 of them or 1,000,000 of them. It's all the same effort that went into it. And it can automate all that. So thinking about how you can do that with what you're doing, like if you're mentoring, maybe there are people that want specific mentoring for physical education businesses, like gyms. Or maybe you want to work with people that have that are opening brick and mortar stores. Or maybe, I mean, like there's a lot of areas in business you can mentor, right? So you need to figure out what's the match that you can develop with your avatar. Okay, some other tips around your marketing. Check your messaging. Okay, when we talked about getting information, you'll see this one about joining Facebook groups. That can be really helpful market research. Become a member of groups that have groups of people that are interested in whatever it is you do. And then start reading the post. Look in, like make, copy down. What are the questions people are asking? Are there questions you can answer? If you can, answer them in the group. If you consistently start interacting in the group and you show up as an expert, people will start clicking on your name and checking out your profile. So make sure your profile is worth looking at. Don't make it as some hidden profile with a gray picture and a header that has some large slogan and half the slogan's running off each end so you can't even read it. Or, you know what I'm saying? Have any of you seen those Facebook pages? Yeah. Hopefully none of you have those. But you really want to think about that because it's part of, you know how we talked about your character and the values that you are showing people? You want your personal profile to reflect that. Facebook doesn't like you to advertise and do business on your personal profile, but you can put things there that let people know what kind of a person you are. Like, I will sometimes put my business logo on that page, but in the context of something else. You have an opportunity to put a little phrase down there about what you do. Think about what you put in that little spot. Because that's what people will see when they just click over and look at your profile. And it can make a difference. Like, I'll look at some people's profiles and I'm like, no, not messaging them. They're not my people. Okay? But there's others that I'm like, ooh, this is definitely somebody I want to talk to. So think about what people are needing, how you serve them, and make that a reflection so that you're serving them with every contact they have with you. Okay. So another thing that's really important is you want to know the vocabulary that your avatar is using. Like, what do they say? Like, I'm a nurse. So I'll say things like, you know, we're talking about diabetes. It's people that, like, have high glucose and their A1Cs are out, you know, sky high. But what most people are saying is my blood sugar's out of whack. So when I write messages, I use the language that my avatars use, not necessarily what I use or what I think sounds professional or anything. And this messaging is verbal. It can be auditory. It can be written. Like, you can send an email out that has nothing but a link to you talking so they can hear your voice, get to know you. It's like, don't get stuck with email. It just has to be a big, long message. It's not necessarily a blog post. You can send videos and emails. You can send audio messages and emails. I have a mentor that does what she calls Monday morning coaching calls. And she just records like a 6 to 8 minute audio to encourage, to motivate, to share an insight, whatever it is. And then she'll send it out in an email. And there's a lot of value to that if your content is worth something. Right? So, like, just be thinking about how you can serve people. And then in all of your messaging, you want to make sure it's consistent, like across your emails, your social media, signage for your business, your logos, your branding. Try to make everything match. And then test different ways of messaging. Like, find out if your people prefer to watch you on video, or do they prefer to listen to you, or do they prefer to read what you write? And then do what they like. So depending on your demographic, like if you have a really young demographic, you want to be on Instagram. That's where that's a very young demographic. TikTok's even younger. So depending on like who you're trying to reach. Facebook is more middle-aged these days. It's like 35 and up. Not saying that there aren't groups for young people, but that's more of a platform for older people. Also be thinking about how long your messaging is available. You go at all the work of doing a video or doing an audio or whatever. It's like you want it to get as much mileage as it can. So platforms that give you more mileage are Pinterest and YouTube because your stuff is evergreen and it's searchable. That is not true for Facebook and Instagram. It falls off people's feeds so fast these days that they say, assume on either Facebook or Instagram. Assume nobody's ever seen anything you posted. Period. Because most of the people you're trying to reach probably haven't seen you, even if you're posting every day. So it's so like some places have longer lives than others. YouTube is amazing. I mean, how many of you watched things that were recorded on YouTube 10 years ago? Because it came up in a search you looked for, right? It's just there. And once you put it up there, it just keeps going. You know, they say that people need about 17 hours of contact with you to truly know, like, and trust you. If you were to do that one-on-one with people, it's going to take you a long time. You can go on YouTube. You have 30-minute something, which is kind of long. But if you do something that's for 30 minutes, you have 100 people watch it, that's 50 hours of contact. And it maybe only took you 30 or 45 minutes to do it. So it really maximizes your time investment when you optimize platforms that allow your content to live evergreen. If you're more visual, use Pinterest because it's the same way. And you can have links and you can have all sorts of ways to get people to connect back to you with both of those. Okay. That was our original Q&A. We're going to save that. But, okay, while you're all here, how many of you think that you would like to be able to connect with other Adventist entrepreneurs for encouragement, to share what you're learning, to ask questions, find out what other Adventists are doing that might serve you if you're trying to build a team? How many of you think that would be interesting? How many of you think you'd like to be part of that? If you want to be part of that, scan this. If your phone doesn't have connection, you can't scan it, then take a picture. Because you can type in the URL, and it'll allow you to sign up. Because I'm doing what I'm telling you to do. Okay? It's like if you are like me and you like to share with other Adventist entrepreneurs what's going on and what you're learning. I mean, like maybe you're sitting over here taking a course on something that I haven't done a course on. And maybe you over there, you got some coaching going with somebody else in the area of some area of business, maybe how to deal with your finances, profit first, I don't know, something. And then if we can get together and share what we're learning, do you see how helpful that could be? Is it valuable to you to be here in the room today? Yes. If this is valuable for you, then this is valuable for you. Because this is an opportunity for us to reconnect after AdAgra. And I don't know about you, but for me, connection is super important. Because I believe we should be collaborating and not competing. Yes. Right? This is what this is about. So this is a way that we can collaborate. Write down this. It's not that hard. You know, HTTPS, two dots, two slashes, theharvestcook.activehosted.com, F41.
Who's the harvest cook? And it's
the same one. I'm the harvest cook.
Are you?
Yeah.
It's the same one as Zodiac, correct?
It is. It is. If you did it this morning, you don't need to do it again. All right. But if you do it this afternoon, I probably should have actually, if I was really going to do this right, I would have changed it so that I knew who signed up for my marketing class and who signed up this morning. And I know some of you already asked for my PowerPoint. So what I'll probably do is when you sign up here, you will instantly get my PowerPoint from this morning. All right? But what I will do is I will resend to all of you this one, as this PowerPoint as well, if you want.
So if we go to theharvestcook.com, will that actually take us to the same time?
Nope.
As well?
So you're saying you're going to send... PowerPoint, these two PowerPoints.
I will. Yeah.
Thank you.
Are you okay with that?
That works.
All right. See, that's a pain point, right? I had people ask me for my PowerPoint. So what do? I make it available. Like, I hadn't thought about doing that before I came here. I wasn't necessarily going to. But if you all see value in that and you want to be able to go back and look at what I had on the PowerPoint, why not? Right? You're going to find you can do the same thing with whatever it is you're doing. Yes. Oh, I wait for questions till the end. Right, because Audioverse wants us to do questions all together. So,
go back one more time.
Okay. Go ahead and copy it down. So while she's doing that, what do you all want out of this? Like, if you join this community, you're part of my community, what do you really want? What would be good for you?
Something to do marketing.
So you want to connect with some other people. I've talked to some people here already that want to start marketing businesses. And they're avenues. So they might want to connect with them. And I can give you a name already. Okay, right? And so, like, there's people in here that do different pieces of your business. And like I was talking about this morning, unless you want to really get burned out or you don't want to grow, you need to build team. These are the only options you've got. So team means that you get to focus on using the gifts God gave you and let other people do the rest of the stuff that other people can do. Because I'm just telling you, you're not indispensable, and pretty much everything you can do can be replaced except for your brain. And it's like your creativity, your take on things. Nobody else can do that. But they can do your marketing. They can do your social media. They can do your deliveries. They can do your watering. They can do your weeding. I'm serious. Build a team around your farm. Mm-hmm. Do you agree, Pam? Yeah, she knows about building teams. She brings in interns to help. I mean, they have in the past. I don't know if you're doing it right now, but that's a way of building team. When you bring in interns.
That's more about mentoring. That
is true. It is. I agree. Because it's actually you putting a lot out for that. You probably don't get back everything. But you're investing in people. And that's a value of yours, right? And I think all of us have values where we're willing to invest, even if we don't get a monetary return for it. Well, because life is not just about your monetary return. She's open. Let her know. All right? Everybody know. They could use more resources to have more interns to spread the impact of what they're doing. I mean, what they have learned in their experience of farming, I don't know how many of you know Pam. Raise your hand in case you don't know Pam. There might be a few newbies here. But Pam and her family had a lot of experience in starting a farm from scratch without being farmers, right? Because that wasn't like you didn't go to school to be farmers.
Frankly, your brand has reputation for mentoring.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. And so they have a lot to offer on the basis of their experience. But every one of you here has life experience behind you. And I don't care what you've been through in life, that life experience is something that can serve someone else if you choose to let God use you that way. And it could be a good thing, it could be a bad thing that's happened to you. It doesn't matter. I don't want anybody walking out of here thinking, well, that's for somebody else. Somebody else can do this, but there's nothing I could do. Because it's not true. God gives everyone gifts. And he's given all of you life to this point. You have learned things in your life that nobody else has learned in the way you've learned. So, like, think about that. How can you put that to work? Okay, so part two. We're going to talk mostly here about influence and customer journey and wrap it up. So, some application of some of the things we've been talking about. Influence and persuasion. Okay, we've talked about the need for having impact, right? Impact only happens when you have influence. So there's some principles around influence that you should be aware of, and then I'm also going to give you a resource so that you can dig deeper, because I think it's really valuable. And when you're looking at this area, there's just principles based on how human beings work. Okay? And one of those is reciprocity. So people feel obliged to give back to others who have given to them. So that back and forth is a really important thing to remember as you make connections with people. And you can leverage this principle by offering something of value to potential customers. Helpful information, free samples, small gifts, recipes with your eggplant and your okra. You know, whatever it is, those are ways of giving. You're not asking for any money in return or anything. There's no investment on their part. It's risk-free. But you're giving value, and you're doing it from a place of generosity because you want to serve. And when you do that, people are more likely, this is like research-based, they're more likely to engage in your business, make a purchase, or recommend your products to others if it's not a good fit for them. OK? Okay. So those are things to remember around reciprocity. Another one is social proof. People often look to others to determine what is correct or desirable. How many of you came to AdAgra conference for the first time, whenever that was, because somebody told you about AdAgra? Okay, that's word of mouth. That's social proof. Your friend said that they had a wonderful time at AdAgra. So you thought, well, maybe I'll go try it out. That's social proof. Now, you can document social proof around your business with videos, written testimonials, reviews on Google, reviews on Yelp, reviews on whatever platform. Okay? Those are ways that you can create social proof around whatever you're doing. So, if you do anything virtually, how many, do any of you do anything virtually like coaching or a couple people? Okay, if you do that, it's really helpful to routinely record your Zooms. And while you're in a presentation, when you wrap up a presentation, ask questions like, what did you get out of this presentation? How did this help you? What are you going to do differently going forward? And you can, if they're on Zoom, just ask permission. Is it okay if I share this with other people that might be interested to know how this would serve them? And get permission in your Zoom to use their whatever they said. And you can transcribe that and use it written. You can use it as a video. You can do a lot of things with that. Just a technical point that I learned is that if you do that on a public platform like Facebook, like say you're on Facebook and you do a live, you're doing this video and you're asking people, you can even be like Zoom that's live streamed onto a platform, okay? So that you can have interaction, you can ask the questions, they're answering you back. Thank you. That if you do that on a public platform, you don't even have to technically, legally ask permission. If it's public, it's public. And everybody knows it's a public platform. So if they say something, they've basically given their permission for you to use it. And so if you just routinely ask questions from people about the value they received, and whatever you're doing, you can collect testimonials every day that you work and just save them and repurpose them. Okay. Short videos are probably some of the most powerful, like a minute or less. All right, authority, another area that I think is applicable to everybody here. And that is that people tend to follow the lead of credible, knowledgeable experts. So if you share your expertise, like you make this like really great, high-rising, gluten-free bread that doesn't taste or look gluten-free, that's expertise. And people want that. Maybe you know how to do something else really, really well. Maybe you're amazing at reconditioning bicycles and taking bicycles that people have junked and making them rideable. I know people that have done that and provided like projects, a whole cities of free bicycles for people to borrow and get around cities. I mean, there's all kinds of things that can be done. Another way you can build your authority in an area is to join associations or collaborate with influencers for more credibility. Somebody else that already has a reputation built. So, you know, these are all ways in which you can increase your influence. But there's a lot to it. And this is probably it's a classic in the area. I really recommend it to anybody in business. Just as understanding the basics of the psychology behind marketing. Because it's just about understanding human nature. Because we are all the same in more ways than we're different. And this is research-based. It's just looking at the research. And it's so interesting to learn more about how our brains work. And I've found as I've like looked into this and learned more about it, that it actually like overlaps into every area of life. Do you need influence as a parent? Do you think you need influence with your kids? Do you need influence on the church board you sit on? Okay, it's like you're more effective as a worker for God if you know how to use the power of influence. It's something God has given every single person, but we choose how we use it. And so I just want to really encourage you to be looking for ways to use what God has given you to serve others. Okay. So, what's our time? My phone is charging. 4:36. Okay. So another important piece is your marketing. Now, are you pretty clear about understanding your avatar, your messaging for your avatar? So then your potential customer, you need to be their guide. So you're taking them on a journey, and the journey is to the results they're looking for. It's not to buying your product. All right? So what are the results that they're looking for? In my case, people want to get off medications. They want to drop their A1C. They want to lower their blood sugar numbers. They want to get rid of their neuropathy. Okay? Those are results. So everybody wants results if you're offering a solution to their problem. So the solution to your problem, to their problem, is the results they're going to get. So you want to design a customer journey that takes them step by step. Because when you're starting out, or what we call a funnel, okay? a funnel is basically how you work with people to guide them in the steps they need to take to get the results they want. All right, so there's basically four areas that you've got to get nailed down if you want a sustainable business. The first one is lead generation. A lead is somebody who's a potential customer. How do you generate leads? You get contact information for people that are interested in the sorts of things you're doing. Many, many ways to do that. But lead generation, your efforts at lead generation are what get people into your funnel. So there are a lot of things that can get people into a funnel. For example, good customer service will bring them back to your business. Marketing, all your marketing efforts, there are a lot of them will be bringing people into your funnel. Word of mouth, employee education, social networking, your website, the quality of your products. All of those are things that can bring people into your sphere of influence. You might call the top of the funnel your sphere of influence. Those are people you've touched. Okay, in one way or another. They've come in contact with some piece of copy that you've written, some video you put up, some product you sold, something that had your label on it at the supermarket. Okay, all of those are ways that they come into the funnel. Now, you notice how the funnel is wide at the top, but it's narrow at the bottom, right? The bottom is the result. Result for your customer, which will also be results for you. But you have to throw a wide net, and then as your funnel gets narrower, there'll be some people that continue down the funnel. Not everybody that comes in is going to stay in or continue on the journey. But what you're looking for is who's ready to take the next step in the funnel. And the more steps they take, the more likely they are to get their result. And so if you really care about them, you want them to get their result. So you're going to pay attention when they fall out of the funnel. They don't progress. You're just like, what's not working, okay? And that's where you start testing and you start trying different things. Like, okay, so this person isn't progressing down my funnel past this step. Why? So maybe you reach out and you call them and you ask them, okay, you have a step that's next. How come they don't want to take that? Find out what it is that's in the way. Don't be guessing. Like, actually find out. Surveys can help you. Like, you can do little Google form surveys to your email list. 3 questions. What's your biggest obstacle keeping you from moving forward in blank, blank, whatever it is you do? Let them tell you. And then you figure out, how do I solve that problem? They've got an obstacle, that's a problem. You solve that problem, they're going to move. So you just be thinking that way. So then when they become a customer, that's what we call lead conversion. Okay? In the church, that's what we call it too, isn't it? Like, they get baptized, okay, we had conversion, okay? It's the same process. It doesn't matter what you're enrolling somebody into, whether it's the church, whether it's a school program, whether it's your business. Okay, be quiet. Is it an alarm? What is it? I don't know. Yeah. Okay. So you have lead generation, then you have lead conversion. Conversion is when they buy anything from you, and it can be 99 cents. But when somebody spends money with you, they pull out their credit card or they hand you cash, they are now at a different level. They are now a customer. Okay? And customers, you want to take really good care of. Because that's how you can have them continue down your journey to whatever the result is that they need. People, you know, maybe they need, like in my case, a lot of people need 6 to 12 months of coaching to really reverse their diabetes. Because they need time to build new habits, right? They need time to work on their mind. To how do they deal with the depression, with the anxiety, with the trauma, whatever it is that's been pushing their food addiction that pushed them into diabetes. Whatever it is, it can take a while for them to get results. So, I mean, they can get results in a week at one point, but to really reverse diabetes can take longer. So a lead generator is however you get people to raise their hand and say, I'm interested. Okay, that's lead generating. So I have all kinds of lead generators. For example, if people want to take a quiz to see whether they have risk factors for diabetes, I have a lead magnet where they click, they give me their name and their email, and then they go to the next page and it has a question. It's like, do you have these things? You're not diagnosed with diabetes, but you have any of these risk factors, or you've been diagnosed with diabetes. So everybody falls into usually one of those two categories, because risk factors are things like you're over 45. All right. So there's a lot of people with those risk factors, and we already know that so many people are already pre-diabetic or diabetic, right? So then the next page, after they answer that question, depending on how they answer the question, it takes them to an assessment tool. It's all free. The assessment tool has 16 objective measurements, body measurements. So it has like your weight, your height, your BMI, your fasting glucose, your cholesterol level, your vitamin D level. It's like 16 things. So part of it's lab work, part of it's body measurements. And I tell them in the assessment, they can get all that lab work done themselves. Like they can go online and order it, pay for it, and go to the lab. They don't have to see a doctor. They don't have to wait for an appointment. So they can do that right off the bat. And then when they put their results in the tool, it tells them where they're farthest out of whack so they know what their priority area is. Is their weight the thing that's farthest out of whack? Or is it their cholesterol? Or is it their A1C? What is most out of whack? And then it's like, you have to have priority. You need to know what you need to work on first. So this helps them know what they need next. And it gives them really solid information. Most people don't know these numbers, and every person needs to know those numbers. I don't care how healthy you are, you need to know those numbers, what they are now. And you should be checking them every 6 months to a year. Because things change. Things change in your life. Like, Pam and I used to run CHIP programs in Northern California. And I remember the first CHIP program that we did, we do before and after blood work. And I did before blood works. I'd never done a CHIP program before. And I was already plant-based at home, but I ate whatever was at church potluck, which sometimes was a little bit of cheese or a little bit of meat, not meat. And so I was like, I eat healthy, right? So I had my cholesterol checked and it was like 180. So I'm like, oh, cholesterol, by the way, is supposed to be 100 plus your age. I was not 100 years old. So I was like, I don't like this. So in that 4-week program, I strictly ate plant-based. I made sure I had no dairy, because that was the only other non-plant-based stuff I was eating was dairy. Made sure I had no dairy, and I made sure I walked at least 20 minutes a day. Now, does that sound like a lot of lifestyle change?
No.
Do you know what my cholesterol was at the end of 4 weeks? It was 122. So I learned that little things make a difference for me. Not everybody's cholesterol is going to drop 60 points doing what I did. But for me, that was really important information. Okay? So, helping people see where they are and where they need to go is your first step in enrolling them into whatever you know they need. But you know how we talk about Christ's method, right? He met people and looked at what was their felt need. A lot of times people feel a need that is not really their basic need. Like we were talking a little earlier, they think they need money. No, they need leadership. But we get to help people where their felt need is. That's their pain point, so that we can share truth that will help them with what they really need. Right? That's the amazing position you're in as an entrepreneur. You get to create those spaces for people. Nobody's telling you how to do it. You get to do it. You get to use your mind. You get to use your connections. And so once they're converted into a customer, then a continuity plan is, well, how can they keep working with you? How can they keep growing, keep learning, keep getting better at whatever it is they're doing? That's a continuity plan. And then repeat business. They come back. They have, like, maybe have a different course they're going to go through, or something else that they can do to go to the next step. So you need all four of these operating in your business. But start at the top. Because if you don't have lead generation, you don't have anybody to do the rest of the steps with. Okay? And lead generation is based on traffic. So that's like how many touch points where people can connect with you.
Can I say something?
Yes, please.
All of that can also happen outside of technology.
Yeah, totally. It's all through connections. Yeah, but you have to be communicating at every step. Okay? And it doesn't matter how you do that communication. So traffic is all the ways you get leads. So it can be email marketing, it could be your blog, it can be online directories, TV, radio. Anybody here have a radio program? That's something a lot of Adventist entrepreneurs actually do. You can have your own radio program. Now you can have your own TV program. Scott Ritzma's got his own TV program. Right? So it's like, it's amazing the doors that have opened for ministry and service through technology. Okay, like I know some people are just really, really afraid of it and don't want anything to do with it. And it's like, that's fine. You don't have to. But I'm just telling you, there are a lot of opportunities there to serve. So the first way getting leads is by what we call lead magnets. Something a potential customer gets in exchange for email or contact info. It can be physical, it can be digital. But you want it to be free or very low cost. If your product is a high-end product, like it's for the affluent, then you don't want it. You probably don't want your lead magnet to be free, but you might want it to be low cost, and it's got to really have high perceived value. But till someone actually pays you something, they're not serious about being in a relationship with you, and they're probably not a potential customer until they do that. But you can do. There's a lot of different traffic sources. So traffic sources can be phone calls. You're just phoning people. Or you hire people to help phone people for you or whatever. It can be you go to farmer's market and you meet 75 people or more on a market day. You set up a little booth with whatever it is you're selling or advertising your services or what have you. But everything at the top should bring people into your sales funnel. So like once they have engaged with you, you need to have follow-up. So don't let people give you their email address and they don't hear from you for 6 months. Okay? Your list will go cold. People need a connection. It's like if you're gonna be friends with somebody, what is it? Hi, I really like you, Weston. Let's be friends. See you in a year. How does that work? Not well. Right? So it's like they gave you their email number. That's trust right there. Because you don't give your email address to everybody these days. Right? You gotta like want something. So when they do that, then thank them for connecting with you. Have something to follow up with. Have a nurture sequence. A nurture sequence often looks like, it doesn't have to look like this, but there's one way it can look. It can be like three emails that just provide value. So like you're teaching them about something in your area. Sometimes people, like if you have a product that gives people a result, but they don't understand your product, you have to educate about the product and how it works before they're willing to invest in it to actually get their results. So you might have an educational piece that you're doing. Those are value emails where you're just talking about how this works and how you can take advantage of this and what the benefit would be for you. Okay, don't get caught in the weeds with, I have a course that has 16 modules and each module is 10 minutes long and it's really easy to follow through. No, they do not care about your course. They don't care about your modules. What they care about are the results. So everything needs to be talked about how you get the result. So here's your next step to that result. Maybe your next step is you set up a phone call with me so we can talk. Maybe your next step is you get this book I wrote, because it has a lot of the meat in it. So you have a book. Books can be lead magnets. Anybody in here written a book? I have a few books, okay. All right. So books can be lead magnets. And usually the way they work best as lead magnets is what they call a self-liquidating offer, which is you charge, you tell them the book is free, but they pay for shipping and handling. The shipping and handling is priced so it covers the cost, your cost to produce it. Like a hard copy book, all right? And that's called a self-liquidating offer. So when they buy it, they're paying you enough to cover the cost of delivering it to them, but the book itself was really free. So when you do that, then they have something in their hand, it's in their bookcase, they're sitting, they're looking at it. If it's something that's interesting, if it has good value in it, then that's a really great connection point, and they paid you something, so they're now a customer. And so then you can follow up. How's the book? You know, you have them tagged. They bought your book. So how did you like the book? Do you have any questions?
Here's my next book.
Yeah, here's another book. Or here's a course that helped you implement what's in the book. So like something that builds on what they had. So what's the next step? You can work with me and I'll mentor you to take the next steps as described in the book. There's a lot of ways you can do that. So like I have a cookbook. So I've used it in the past for bringing people into a cooking school, like an online cooking school where they could learn how to cook plant-based, diabetes-friendly recipes. You know, so there's a lot of ways you can do this. So be using your creative juices. Alrighty, questions? Let me see, I should have been watching a little bit closer, but 4:53. Okay, we got 10 minutes and I can stay a few minutes extra if needed. So questions. So give you an idea of what your next steps are. Does anybody here know what you need to do next? Okay. That's good. I like that. Question. Yes. You do both. You do both. So what do they need? What are you trying to sell? Let me just tell me.
Dense produce.
Okay. What makes it nutrient dense?
Produce.
Okay. So your produce costs more?
Well,
if it doesn't, you don't have a selling point. Okay? If it costs more, then what you get to do is educate them on the value. Now, they might not understand that nutrient-dense food is what they need, but they might know that they want more energy, that they want to be less sick, that they want to be less toxic. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so maybe that's where you start. It's like, this is food that will give your body what it needs to heal. A lot of people want healing these days. Everybody's sick. So these foods, we grow them in ways that give your body what it needs and you can't get from ordinary supermarket produce. So what they're buying is not your produce. They're buying health, they're buying energy, they're buying relief from illness. That's what they're buying. So always remember what people are actually buying, which is not usually your product. It's the result. Yes. There you go. That's how you. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, think about ways that you can add value to the product. And adding value might be processing it in a way that makes it last longer or allows you to ship it. Or, yeah. Yeah. A whole new customer base. There we go. Let's get networking. I love it. I love it. Yes, Andrew. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Like pick one thing you heard me talk about today and go try it. You got notes. You got all kinds of ideas, I hope. So go just do one thing. How many of you know one thing you can do in the next week? Thank you. Who else knows? Anybody else that hasn't raised their hand? I want to see the hands of everybody that knows you can do something next week. Okay. Adam, can you do anything next week? Oh, awesome. Okay. Yeah, like you count, all right? Raise your hand.
Is it for it is. Your next class?
What I'm going to use it for is I want you to look around the room. Everybody get their hand up, please. Like you guys have energy, right? You're organic farmers, what have you. Okay, see all those hands? Okay, all those hands, keep them up. You're committing to each other that you're going to do something next week. That's what that hand's for, right? Amen. Write down what it is you're doing. Because you're going to forget it by the time you go to the next class. Write down in your book, what are you doing next week that's a takeaway from what you've learned here today? Okay? All right, question.
So is there anything that here?
There are some networking groups by interest. And so you might see if any of those match, because I think that would be one place. But other than that, I'm not aware of that. Put it on your evaluation sheet.
That'd be
maybe next
down.
Year. Yeah, I think
for
that
everybody.
Would be great. Like, everybody has got a product.
Mm-hmm. Let's get to know each other in the whole.
But yeah, we can do this on Zoom before next year.
Okay.
You like that?
I like in person.
I know. I like in person, too. But I have learned that you can connect with people on Zoom.
And you can't be everywhere all at once.
You can't. Because we all have responsibilities in different places. But it doesn't mean we can't connect and help each other. But I agree. I mean, find people around you that you can meet with.
Right now.
Exactly. We've got till Sunday in person. Take advantage of it. Right? Like, network. Start talking to people. Find out what people do.
That should be our introduction. Hi, I'm Vicki. What do you do?
Yeah.
What's your name?
No. I'm Vicki and you do your elevator speech. Oh. Now, what do you do?
Yeah, that's my first thing.
Your 1-2 sentence speech?
Yeah.
Yeah. Start practicing it. This is a great place to practice it, by the way. Because it takes practice to get good at it and like to get it in your head. Took me a while. And it's a safely. That's right. Not something to, and don't worry if it sounds awkward or funny or doesn't sound like me when you first start because it's new. But it'll become a way you can communicate what you do. You live in a city, so who?
Her target.
Your target people. So who do you think your target people are?
People that live in nature.
Okay, so, yeah. Okay, I'm going to let anybody go that needs to go. It's 5 o'clock. And if you have exhibits, like your exhibits start at 5, like so does mine. Yeah, but I'll answer a couple more questions. I'm here, and you guys have my contact information. If you signed up, you're getting an email from me.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.